John 13:31-33 said, "The time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory, and God will be glorified because of him. And since God receives glory because of the Son, he will give his own glory to the Son, and he will do so at once. Dear children, I will be with you only a little longer. And as I told the Jewish leaders, you will search for me, but you can't come where I am going. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other, just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Andrew. Hey, it's good to have everybody here today. Good to have you with us via live stream. And my heart just cried out this morning that God would meet you powerfully through this technology. I know some ways technology can feel like it gets in the way, that maybe we don't feel that same closeness or connection because, you know, we're just watching something on our screens. But I'm believing God to really utilize the technology, that God will touch your heart today, that you'll be encouraged in your faith, that you will even feel a connection with others as you're commenting and sharing with one another online there on our Facebook page. So it is good to have you here, and I'm excited about the series that we're going to be doing, which I'll talk about here in just a moment. Before I do that, I do want to remind you, and Sarah did send out an email earlier this week, and if you're not receiving those emails, again, you can type right into the comments right now. Sarah is moderating, and she'll send her your email, and we can send you those weekly updates that we're putting out right now. So, but what I wanted to remind you was that she mentioned in that email that we are taking communion today again, and this is a way for us, we're still the church, we still are the people of God, we still celebrate what Jesus did in his death and resurrection, and so we're going to be taking communion together. So if you did not prepare for that, I really don't want to encourage you to do that now because I'm going to start speaking. But hey, if you need to do it, get a little cup of some juice, or it can even be water. I mean, anything that's going to remind us of what the Lord has done for us. So a little cup of juice, a little chunk of bread or something. We'll be taking communion here at the end of the message. So that would be good. Or you can just sit and celebrate communion spiritually. Commune with Jesus while communion is taking place. So we originally planned, the coronavirus has kind of changed a lot of things in our lives. Well, it also changed the sermon series that we were going to do after Easter here. So for like about the third time, we are bumping that series back. We feel it's an important series, but that it just didn't quite fit the times right now and the things that we're dealing with. So we are launching into a six-week series called The Church in Crisis, Changing but Never Wavering. And I think this is really key for us to know. The church has endured for 2,000 years. This is not the first time the church has faced a crisis. This is not the first time the church has been through a pandemic of some nature, whether it was the Spanish flu of 1918 or the bubonic plagues in the Middle Ages. The church is still the church, and the church, it may have to change, it may have to adapt to cultures and times, but it is unwavering in many other things. So we want to kind of address that here in the midst of what's going on with the coronavirus crisis. So again, throughout this time, and something we really want you to know and to understand, is that we are still the church. Even though there's about six of us here in the room, we are still the church. You are with us. We are with you. Thank God for the technology. And even if there wasn't the technology, we are still the church. But what does it mean to be the church when we can't gather in physical proximity to worship, fellowship, and study? I love the image, and you'll see it here in just a moment. I think it's going to pop up even on your screens there, that Andrew came up with for this sermon series. You can see it also on the church Facebook page right when you come to it. A church, what you see there is a church in crisis, in a sense, struggling to find its way, to remain visible in the clouds of uncertainty and change. I mean, in some ways, to some people, it may feel like the church is even more invisible than normal. We can't even gather together. Yet the steeple, what I love is that with all the clouds kind of, the, to me, represent uncertainty and wondering, you know, you don't know what's going on below. But coming through those clouds is the steeple of the church, like a sign or something, a sense of stability, something that we recognize and know that is still the church. And even in the background, you have these mountains that are like unshakable. They're there and they'll always be there. Unshaken, immovable. Maybe uncertainty. We don't really know what's underneath those clouds. In our context, what's underneath those clouds is the church physical building is going through a bit of a remodel. But anyway, that's a whole nother point. But we want to acknowledge that while right now there is a great shaking going on, the world and the church are in a state of crisis. It's pretty obvious, right? There is a state of crisis kind of happening right now. Things are different. We're finding new ways to be the church, new ways to live. But in spite of this, and I'll say it again, the church is still the church. It's not going away. It may look a little different. It may change the way it does things. But the church is the people, and we are the church. So while acknowledging the crisis, we want to share with you a series that begins with the unchanging foundations of what it means to be the people of God. To do this, we've chosen what is known as the one another's of the New Testament. The one another's are like this: love one another, bear one another's burdens, admonish one another, pray for one another. These one another's that are found. In fact, there's 59 of them in the New Testament alone of these one another's. And those are just but a few examples. It's also interesting to note that of those 59, 19 of them at least are some variation of love one another. So for this reason, we've chosen 6 of these one another's. Principles, and believe that they apply to us as the church, no matter what we're going through, no matter what crisis, no matter what culture we live in, no matter what time we are, that through the ages, these one another's represent what the church is and how the church continues to be the church. In fact, you know, in other words, we apply these one another's apply to us whether we are amid a global crisis or not. The church and the people of God are always called upon to love one another. We're always called upon to bear one another's burdens. We're always called upon to pray for one another. These things, again, the church in crisis, changing but never wavering. And so we feel that these one another's, you know, really show us the unwavering nature of what it means to be the church. What will be unique to this series is that we plan to explore how do we express these principles in our current situation. You know, loving one another when you're in physical, you know, proximity and loving one another when we're not, we might have to think through what that looks like. In fact, as we are sharing, you know, also even as we're sharing and trying to bring practical application to each of these messages, we again encourage you to share your thoughts and your comments online. It's okay, even while I'm speaking, to be doing that, because that will kind of help you to build a sense of community as you're watching together online. Just remember that when we come back and we're all here in the church, then maybe I wouldn't get so excited about seeing everybody on their cell phones and stuff during that time. But anyway, for now, you have freedom, right? You can talk all you want during my message. In fact, I encourage you to do so. But anyway, all joking aside. So to open the series today, I'm going to be speaking about loving one another. So let's go back to our passage for today. I'm just going to read it again from John chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. Jesus said, "The time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory, and God will be glorified because of him. And since God receives glory because of the Son, he will soon give glory to the Son. Dear children, I will be with you only a little longer. And as I told the Jewish leaders, you will search for me, but you can't come where I am going. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." I love this. "So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other." For some reason, reminds me of the movie. Maybe you shouldn't even know that I've seen this movie, but Bill and Ted's Most Excellent Adventure. And when Abraham Lincoln gets up there and he's giving his speech and he's, "Be excellent to each other." And that's kind of how, you know, I could just see Jesus. Love each other. Love each other. He says he's getting ready to leave. And this is a new commandment. This is something I want you to really focus on. In fact, if you love each other, the whole world will know that you are my disciples. As I mentioned a few moments ago, 19 of the 59 verses that talk about one another's are about this idea of love, of loving one another. It seems clear to me that all the one another's, all the other one another's, really just kind of give a further explanation of this foundational one another, which is to love. So when we bear one another's burdens, when we pray for one another, when we admonish one another, all the other ones that we'll be looking at really are just telling us, this is how you love each other. This is how you go about doing it. I find it interesting that when Jesus says, "I give you this commandment, this new commandment, love each other," that for Peter, it's in this context of, you know, Jesus says, "I'm getting ready to go, and where I'm going, you can't go." But now I really want you to remember something. Yes, I'm leaving, and I'm going to be going, and you can't go with me, but I really want you to know something. Love each other. And I find it amazing that Peter seems to miss the whole point and starts to worry about Jesus leaving. I mean, his response to this whole thing is, "Lord, where are you going?" Like, so we get this, I think you can kind of see what I'm trying to paint, the picture here that's painted for us in Scripture. Jesus is making this amazing emphasis that his disciples and followers, that people are going to follow him, were to love each other. And he did it in this context, though, of, "I'm leaving, this is what I want you to do." But all Peter is concerned about is, "You're leaving? Ah! What do you wait, what? Where are you going, Lord?" Like, he misses completely this point of loving one another. And I think we as the church do that too. We lose focus about loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We lose the focus of loving other people because we get so caught up in our own stuff, our own insecurities, our own problems. "Lord, where are you going? What about me? Wait a second. No, you can't go. You're making me nervous. I'm getting anxious." And Jesus just speaks back into that situation. Actually, it's amazing. Jesus, in a sense, graciously responds to Peter's question. But in the end, it still comes down to love, because Peter makes, if you go back and look at the passages that follow, Peter says, "Well, Lord, tell me where you're going. I'd give my life for you. I'll go wherever you go. I'll give my life." And Jesus basically says, "Really? Because before the rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me." Really, Peter? That's what love is to lay your life down. I think it kind of just went over their heads. But it's interesting that one of those disciples that was there was John. John, at least later on, totally got it. He picked up on what Jesus said, and it becomes a major emphasis, actually, in John's letters, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And in 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 and then 14 through 19, John writes this. He says, For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Interesting. This is the message you've heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. So John got it. And I've preached on this message kind of before, not this message, but a variation of it. And we just seem to have such difficulty in taking hold of this basic, simple command of God to love each other. I know that I do. I get caught up in my own stuff, and oh, this offends me, and this bothers me, this person, blah, 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 blah. And Jesus just comes back to me over and over again and says, love them. You need to learn how to love people. This is what John continues to say. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love one another. In other words, this is an indication that you have experienced the saving grace of God in your life when you have learned to love another person, to love others. Whoever does not love abides in death. All who hate a brother or sister are murderers. And you know that murderers do not have eternal life abiding in them. This is strong language. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, which takes us right back to this context in John the 13th chapter. And we ought to lay down our lives for one another. Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. So let's not just say we love one another. Let's show that in the way that we live our lives, our actions are truthfully communicating the love of God. John continues in chapter 4. He says, beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. Wow, powerful, powerful words that speak to the reality of, is God really working in our lives? Now, let me just be clear. I fail on a regular basis to love other people well. It doesn't mean I'm not a follower of Jesus or that God hasn't saved me or that, you know, that I'm a murderer. And the reason I know this is because I still get that conviction from God. When I don't love someone well, or when I do something that really is not loving, God is there to remind me, to draw me back to himself. He helps me to kind of see the situation and to love other people. And I'm sure that is the case with most of you. So the challenge, you know, this isn't a message where I'm trying to challenge your salvation, but I do think there are things that indicate our relationship, where are we really at in our relationship with God? God is love. If God is in us, we are in God, we should be loving one another. So all of this, I think, makes it clear that love is very close to the heart of God. But how are we to do this now? This is really the question of this series. I think it's well established that we're called to love one another. In fact, you knew that before I started sharing with you. You knew that God calls us to love one another. But how do we do it now? In some ways, really, this is what we're going to talk about through the rest of the series. Again, as we talk about, you know, we're going to talk about, we love by bearing one another's burdens, which I've already said a few times here this morning, by encouraging one another, by serving one another, by instructing, teaching, and admonishing one another, praying for one another, and more. These are tangible expressions of love. But my question is, how can we love one another this week? How can we love one another in the midst of a coronavirus crisis that's going on in our world here today? Well, here, let me give you one example. The Bible says on at least four different occasions that we are to greet one another with a holy kiss, right? That's, you know, well, actually today we do it with a holy hug. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a second. Wait, rewind. That's not going to work right now. We are, and thank you for laughing, everybody. The four people in the room, that they laughed with me. But all lightheartedness aside, and understanding that we aren't going to be able to really love one another with a holy hug, as we would say today, so we better just forget about that. But what can we do? How can we love one another and love our neighbors during this time? Well, let me just give you one practical way. There's many ways that we can do it. We're wrestling with this ourselves. Even Larissa's announcement about, you know, being willing to take food and just, you know, again, it would all be, you know, we're talking gloves and masks and just setting it on the door and backing away and, you know, making sure you're there to get it. But that's a way for us. We're, you know, how can we continue to show expressions of love? Well, that's one way. But for you and for most of us, I have a simple, this is my simple encouragement to you. My encouragement is that you just take 15 minutes, could be longer. And I was saying every day, it doesn't have to be every day, but take 15 minutes and just give someone a call. Now, not your normal people. This is where the difference is, I think. Many of you are probably already calling and talking to friends and, you know, engaging in that way. But I want to encourage you to get your directories out, or you can, again, write to graceadministry@gmail.com and ask Sarah to send you a directory, electronic copy, and look through that list and pick someone that maybe you don't know that well. Or maybe pick someone you know that's on that list, or you could ask me. There's a number of people on that list that really are still pretty isolated right now. Even with the technology, there's a couple of them that can't even, don't have computers that are working, and you know, are very isolated in different situations. And I could mention them to you, and you could give them a call. And when you call them, don't just go off on your own stuff. But, you know, go online and look up. What's a couple of questions? Actually, Larissa just helped us with this a few weeks ago when she gave us questions and stuff to ask people when, you know, when she talked about Christian conferencing or fellowship together. You just need a couple. Ask them just a couple of questions and listen to what's going on in their life. You know, you could just ask, what is your biggest concern right now after just how you doing? How are you? Really meaning it. How are you right now? Is there anything, and then just, is there anything I can pray with you about? And if you're uncomfortable praying out loud with people, just still ask them the question and say, when I'm done, I'm going to pray for you. That can communicate love. You know, another thing I would suggest, it's the same thing basically, taking that 15 minutes and maybe calling someone that were just beginning to have contact with, maybe they don't know Jesus, and just giving them a call and checking in with them. Could be a neighbor, could be a coworker. If you're not, most of you are still either working or, but anyway, it just could be someone that you've been reaching out to, but maybe you can't have as much contact with them right now. And just say, hey, I'm just checking in to see how you're doing. That is a tangible expression of love. And you can do that right now. You don't have, you can, you know, the phone is definitely going to keep you 6 feet away. The phone is, you know, going to protect the person you're talking to and yourself. And yet it is a way to express a deep, deep love. for both other for others in the church and maybe for others that aren't yet in the church. If I was the type of person who begs, I would beg you to do this one thing and fulfill the command of God to love one another. You know, maybe an email is more comfortable, but some way where you take the time to reach out. And listen, even those of us that are still working can take the time, 15 minutes a day. And I wouldn't say that this should go on even after things return to normal, whatever that is going to be, to just reach out to another person. That's love. I mean, it's not this huge physically dying for another person kind of love, but it is, in a sense, laying down your life for one another. It's taking 15 minutes of your valuable time and sharing that with another human being. And that could it could make a huge difference in someone's life. The one last thing I just want to say about this, and then I'm going to just close. We're going to get ready for communion. But let me just say this. Don't be the person waiting for someone to call you. Don't be that person. I'm just going to look right at you and say, don't be that person. Again, if you're a, you know, if you're a big introvert and making a phone call just seems like, I couldn't do that, then send an email. Send an email just sharing just what I said. Hey, you know, I've been thinking about you, and many in the directory, we have many emails. You could text somebody and say, hey, can I just want to reach out to you. Can you send me your email? So I'm trying to, I'm an extrovert. Phone call works better for me. But for those of you that aren't, and just send them that email. Hey, you're on my heart. I just want to know how you're doing. I'd love to pray for you. And so, you know, if you just respond, you know, however you say that, you know, and get there, they can respond back. And then really do pray for them and love them well through prayer. You know, Jesus came to this earth and he laid down his life. He didn't just give 15 minutes. He gave everything. Came down out of heaven. And when we think about that, I don't know, it challenges me. It's like Jesus, when he looked at Peter, Peter saying, Lord, I'll go anywhere with you. I'd give my life for you. And Jesus is like, really? Well, I don't think God, at least right now, for most of us, is not asking us to literally, physically give our lives to follow him. But he might be asking you for 15 minutes to fulfill the command to love one another. And to, if we do it well, that God will be glorified. This laying down, this expression of love is signified. John said it in his letter, that no greater love has anyone than this, that they lay down their life. Jesus gave up his life. So hopefully you have some communion elements nearby. And I just want to invite you to just, we'll take it together. But to take bread or cracker or whatever it is that you have, and just contemplate the reality that Jesus loved you so much that he was willing to be whipped, to have a crown of thorns forced upon his head, to be hung upon a cross. He offered up his literal body for you and for me. The cup, which represents the shed blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of sin, God, I pray before we drink this cup that you would give us a fresh revelation of how deep your love truly is for us. And that as we are touched by your love, that you would help us, Lord, to love one another. As we drink the cup today, Lord, as we're reminded of your love, we recommit ourselves. Lord, I want to rededicate myself today to not just being grateful, which is huge, and thankful for the love that you poured out upon me, but to also love those around me better. I ask you would help me, even as I drink this cup today, Lord. Let's drink together.